My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com. And mayo game day be delicious with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. Shop at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store and add some extra deliciousness to your game day dishes this football season.
It's a bully that will not let up until you do something about it. And the worst part is that the bullying happens when you're at your most vulnerable. You might as well have your hands tied behind your back while that bully puts one hand over your mouth and pinches your nose with the other. He'll let up, let you catch your breath, and then he'll do it again. Sleep apnea is a bully. Not long ago, we heard our friend John tell you about how his bully was stopping his breathing in his sleep over 145 times an hour. Think about what that can do to your body's organs. It's no wonder that the snowball effects of long-term obstructive sleep apnea are heart disease, stroke, even depression and anxiety. But this problem is solvable, and we have solutions, and you'll be surprised at how simple they are.
To date, Advent has solved over 40,000 breathing triangle problems. It's time to put that bully in his place. Go to AdventKnows.com to schedule your appointment, because Advent knows, when you breathe well, you live better. Results may vary.
Breezy and chilly tonight, maybe a shower and a low around 40.
Weather brought to you by Robert Half. Robert Half's recruiting professionals use their award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. Learn more at roberthalf.com/talent today.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears football. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station.
The Score!
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You know, I fell in love with Brenda looking at her eyes.
Nice.
I fall in love with quarterbacks watching their eyes. And you see it.
There's his soul right there.
There it is. You see it. You love it.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf. Maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
NFL Network analyst.
Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Look, kids.
I always thought that would be
Big Ben, Parliament.
Very simple.
Hey, look, kids. There's Big Ben and there's Parliament.
Right there. Good one. Good one.
Just can't seem to get to the right, you know?
It's amazing. I cannot get left. There's Big Ben, kids. Parliament.
Look at you. Kurt Warner, everybody.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's delightful to wake up early for the game on Sunday and see our friend Kurt Warner there calling the game.
I know him.
And we're like, yeah, now he's got a the up close seat to see Caleb Williams. So we get to talk to him about all sorts of stuff. Now, Kurt joins us on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Kurt, before we start doing breakdown, I gotta know, man, I loved your suit. Where do you get your suits, and what's important when you buy a suit?
Well, thank you. You know, I get my suits from David August out in L.A. Connected with them a long time ago, so they make my suits for me. And I don't know if there's anything. I'm not necessarily a fashion guy, so I kind of leave it up to them a lot. But they always, you know, do a great job, not only, you know, picking some cool stuff, but adding some little flavor to it, with a lot of my suits. So I've got some of the simple ones, some with a little bit of flair to them. But they just, they try to keep me fresh. They try to keep, you know, me wearing something different, you know, oftentimes. So, if I want to stand out a little bit, I can do that. If I want to be more conservative and, you know, like everybody else, I can do that as well. So, I appreciate you saying that, but it's not, you know, I don't get any credit for that because I just kind of, you know, let them do their thing and they do a great job.
So having gone to the website, Lawrence, I was planning to get you one for Christmas, but I'm going to need some help from a few different people.
I will say this, guys, that when I got into this business, I never in my wildest dreams expected people to comment as much on my wardrobe as they do. So when you get in this business and you're on TV and when you're sitting next to Michael Irvin and, you know, all this stuff, you know, over the years, it is amazing to me, you know, how many people comment on whether they like your suit or don't like your suit or how you look or whatever. I'm kind of amazed by that. So you kind of got to make sure that, you know, that you show up in that regard, because people do make way more comments than I ever expected.
It's a visual medium, Kurt. Absolutely. So what did you learn watching? Before you talk about what you saw on tape, I mean, I guess you do whatever you want. It's your answers. It's your segment. But what did you learn watching Caleb up close, having the ability to see him, you know, throughout the day from your perch there?
Well, I think the first thing is, you know, we get a chance to sit down and have a bit of a conversation with them in the production meetings. And so that was fun to kind of see where he's at, where he sees himself, you know, talking to other people in the organization about, you know, where they feel he's made the most progress. And, you know, and then you kind of, you know, take that and, you know, you cross-reference that with what you see on tape and what he's doing, you know, to give you a better sense of, you know, where you sit just watching tape and maybe what the reality is. So that was really fun. It was fun to sit down with him and to see where he's at and see how contemplative he was with the different things that we talked about and the questions that we asked him. So that was great. You know, I think what I've seen and what I've seen on tape and then, you know, it was reiterated with a lot of, you know, people in the organization is that so much of the growth that he's made and then what I saw all the way up into the, you know, through the game on Sunday is just his comfort level with, you know, with what they're doing. And, you know, he's getting more comfortable with the entire process from calling plays to cadence to, you know, the things that go on in the huddle to what this offense is and what they're trying to do, that he's just continually getting more and more comfortable. And it shows up in a couple ways is that, you know, we've talked about it here a couple different times. It shows up in his ability to process information, know where he wants to go, you know, work his eyes. If you watch the broadcast, we talked about that a lot, you know, and you saw some great examples in the game of that. But it also is about the command of the football, which I've mentioned a few times is that, you know, you see him on tape in the earlier weeks and they're just balls that that I would normally expect him to make that he's missing, you know, that he's inaccurate on, or the ball comes out way too flat when I know the kind of thrower that he is. And you've seen progress in that area, you know, throughout the first 5 weeks. But I thought that may have been the most impressive thing about the game on Sunday was his command of the football and, you know, putting the ball exactly where it needs to be in the pinpoint passing that he had. On a number of different throws was really what jumped out to me. And that starts with the comfort of knowing where you're going, and knowing how to tie your feet to it and the timing of that and trusting the guys around you to do exactly what you expect them to do. But that's really what jumped off the tape to me, you know, and watching him in person, you're starting to see the thrower that I thought he was coming in. And I really believe it's because of the mental comfort more than it was anything really physically that he wasn't doing in the first part of the year.
Kurt, I was so impressed with the fakes on the first touchdown throw to Kmet. There's an element of courage that goes along with being able to finish that that some young quarterbacks struggle with. I'd love to know how you saw that particular play and if the execution by Caleb on the fakes and in the pocket wasn't just good for a touchdown, but was good for a quarterback overall.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's a level of selling that. I think oftentimes we give the quarterback too much credit for fakes because, you know, in most situations, you know, defenders are reading something else besides the quarterback. You know, so a lot of people will say, oh, my gosh, look at the, you know, great play fake that the quarterback made. And now, yeah, meshing with the running back and making it look like a run can be a big part of it. But, you know, if linebackers are looking at the quarterback to determine, oh, you know, is he making a play fake or is he drop back and throwing a pass? They're not going to be a very good linebacker because they're reading offensive linemen. They're reading their keys. They're reading their lead blockers. But, you know, on a situation like that, I do think eyes and the little pump fake, you know, can have a big impact. And specifically on, you know, again, if you watch the broadcast, I circled their middle linebacker. I think it was Devin Lloyd in that situation. But everybody else kind of has their responsibility and is running to their responsibility. And the one guy you have to move is that Mike linebacker. You've got to get him to go somewhere so he doesn't see the tight end sneaking down behind him. And so that's where kind of the eyes or a little pump fake from your quarterback one direction, then come back the other direction, just to get him to kind of buy that eye candy a little bit. And then the ability to make whatever throw you have to make down the field. Because there was actually a free hitter that was coming at Caleb on that play too. And so making both fakes, having the patience, and then, you know, being able to find and make that throw up over the top. But the one thing I really don't worry about with Caleb is his feel. You know, his feel on plays like that, you know, to avoid that rusher and be able to throw from different platforms. He had another one in the game where he ended up scrambling out to the right-hand side. And it was like everybody on the field was running left, and he had to scramble out to the right, and he scrambled out, and it looks like he's just about ready to throw the ball out of bounds and just save a sack. And then Kmet was blocking over there and just kind of leaking out. And he's able to see it and kind of flip it back into him, and they get a big play off of it. And so that's one thing he's always had. And again, as you get more comfortable playing the game and seeing the game and with the speed around you, I think we're going to see more and more of that feel. And so those were a couple plays where I thought his feel for the game really jumped off the page. And it's something that made him so special in college. I believe it's something that's going to make him special at the NFL, and you're just starting to see that come out, you know, at the level that I think we'll see it through a good part of his career.
That's Kurt Warner joining us on Spiegel and Holmes. Love the way you were talking about his command of the football and the like extra levels, not just accuracy. Maybe it's ball placement. I've heard it called or whatever. Just that being able to throw it in those exact spots and how you tied it to his comfort. And he's talked about just getting back comfortable is the phrase that he used. A lot of the no huddle that they've been using these last 2 weeks, that's a change, Kurt. That's a change. What do you think the no huddle means? They are kind of simplifying things for Caleb to make him more comfortable.
But again, I don't like to say simplify because, you know, that, again, kind of implies, oh, you know, he can't handle a more complex situation. But what I do know about, you know, a no huddle type situation, again, something I mentioned in the broadcast for those that listen, was one thing that I think makes quarterbacks more comfortable often in that setting is that it does limit your menu. And it usually takes you back to your base offense more than its game plan stuff. You know, so when you go into a new, you know, week, you know, you're going to game plan some stuff that's specific to the team that you're playing against. And so it may come off of your base stuff, but it's not stuff that you've been running since training camp and since the first day you got there. When you run a no huddle, very often it's really your base play. So you have a package of your base plays that you feel good about against kind of every coverage. And the design is we want to do things we're good at, good concepts that are solid, and we want to limit what the defense is doing, but we don't overcomplicate it. You know, we don't go into every week and have a whole different play, you know, a whole different no huddle package than we had the week before. It's stuff that you've done over and over and over again. And so that's where I think, and again, I didn't, you know, verify this with the Bears, but I'm assuming because most places I was, you know, whether that's the 2-minute drill, right? You have your package of plays in your 2-minute drill that you can pull from, you know, or this kind of setting, you know, a package of plays you can pull from. And so you feel really, really comfortable and you've gotten a lot of reps at that stuff. And so I believe, you know, that's a part of why a young quarterback would be very comfortable with that sort of stuff, because it just simplifies, you know, all the stuff we're going to do and any kind of adjustments that I have to make this week against this defense. Now we can just go play and I can just pull from this menu, or, you know, even nowadays, because you have, you know, the guy talking in your helmet down to 15 seconds. Now, I don't know if they're talking to Caleb during that. You know, I remember hearing stories about Sean McVay talking to Jared Goff in his helmet. You know, they would go and hurry up so, you know, they could kind of do the college thing, and you know, the coach could kind of wait and see what the defense was doing and then call the play from there. I don't know if Chicago's doing that or not. But I just think it opens up some elements from that standpoint of base stuff and, you know, not forcing your quarterback, your young quarterback, to overthink things. And he seems really, really comfortable in it. So I wouldn't be surprised if it remains a staple in their offense, you know, at times throughout the season.
Hall of Fame quarterback, Super Bowl MVP, Kurt Warner joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Our friend, your colleague and friend, Stacey Dales, did a great job of explaining the issues with the lack of scripted plays by Shane Waldron. And then you talked about it on the broadcast. It was great to hear your opinion on it. I want to try and take this forward, and I'd love to get your opinion, Kurt, on should we be looking at it as a positive that the players went to their head coach, the head coach told them to go to the OC, and now everyone seems to be on the same page. Does that strike you as being an indicator of a healthy football team?
Yeah, very much so. excuse me. We can, you know, we can talk a lot about the different situations. And so, you know, I wanted to be clear in the broadcast that Shane Waldron, and I'm assuming he's done this other places that he's been, is that even though he doesn't script like a first 15 plays, he's got openers and drive starters that, you know, that he has ready for each game. And those are kind of his starters. But, you know, my indication was that that number of plays was maybe a little bit more vast, a little bit more wide. And he didn't know specifically which ones he would necessarily call at the beginning of the game. So it wasn't something that maybe you know, could lay out for your quarterback ahead of time so he knew exactly what was coming. But still, you know, wasn't just flying by the seat of his pants and going, I don't know what I'm going to call. We'll see. You know, so I want to delineate between that. But there is, I think, something, especially with the young quarterback. But I liked it, and I had, you know, scripted plays, you know, most of the times when, you know, when I was playing, really no matter what, you know, what stage of my career it was, where teams would script out those plays and they would, you know, give you a sense of where we were going. And, you know, I gave one of the references in the broadcast about, you know, my first playoff game and how in my first playoff game, Mike Martz gave me the first play of the game on a Thursday. And so I had 3 days to think through every scenario that would go into that play. What might the Vikings do? What am I going to do? How am I going to react? Where do I want to get my eyes? All of that stuff. And so, I mean, to me, I even felt like I dreamed about the play. Like I'd wake up and my dream was about, okay, I just threw a touchdown on that play against this coverage or that coverage. And, you know, and I went into that game, and my first play, I threw a touchdown pass to Isaac Bruce on that very first play. And, okay, you know, did it have to do with the fact that he gave it to me on Thursday or not? I mean, we can speculate all we want, but I know I was so ready for that play, and I was so ready for every scenario in that play. I was able to see it. It played out, and I was able to make the play. And I do believe a big part of it was because I knew ahead of time and got to think about that play going into the game. And so I could think about all those scenarios. And so I think there is, you know, something very beneficial about that for any quarterback. And then, you know, really to your question about, does it signify a healthy locker room? I think it does, you know. And, you know, we talk so much about these rookie quarterbacks coming into the league and getting acclimated with everything that is the NFL. And there is no doubt you have to do that. You know, the offenses, your teammates, being able to lead an organization, all of that stuff. But I think anytime you get new players to an organization, there is also a process of the coaches getting acclimated with the players, and specifically with the quarterback. What does this guy like? How does this guy see the game? What does this guy need to succeed? Because all players are different and all quarterbacks are different. And so for, you know, Coach Waldron to hear this from different people, to have that conversation with Caleb, to figure that this is going to help them be more successful and to make that change is always a healthy thing. You know, when it's not just, hey, this is how I've always done it, so, you know, you guys get used to me. It's this how I've always done it. I feel comfortable doing this. But if you guys want it a little different, I can do that. I can make those adjustments. It's not going to mess me up so much that I don't feel like I can call the game the way I want to. So I'll make those adjustments for you guys so you can be more comfortable and we can grow together as a unit. That to me is always healthy for an organization. And it's always healthy for coaches that feel comfortable being able to change. I've been around a lot of coaches that did it one way, had success one way, and didn't really know how to do it another way. And so naturally, they're going to continually fall back to what's made them successful. And, you know, and it causes some tension when what they're doing or how they're playing or the scheme that they like to run doesn't perfectly fit with what their quarterback is and what their quarterback likes to do. And so I've been in those situations where, you know, I had to do some of the things that my coaches wanted to do. And I also had to bring them along to my side so we could find a cohesive balance so that I could be at my best and they could also be at their best and, you know, stay in their wheelhouse and make sure that we were getting their strengths and my strengths when we would show up on Sunday afternoons. And so I really like that they're doing that and they're trying to find that and they're trying to figure it out. And it's a process. It's easy for us to say, well, why didn't you do that week one? Well, maybe we didn't know week one. You know, maybe we went into week one and we thought, hey, this is how I've always done it. Let's do it this way. And, you know, Caleb doesn't say anything or nobody says anything. So we kind of just think, okay, we're fine. And then in week three or four, somebody comes and says, hey, why don't we do this? You know, like we've done this other places I am and maybe this would help us. And, you know, that's the first time maybe you think about doing it differently. And, you know, kudos to them for A, the players. You know, I know Stacey was talking about Mercedes Lewis, but the players going to Coach Waldron and asking for that. And then Coach Waldron for going, okay, let's do it. You know, let's change and see if this is something that can help us. And so, yeah, benefits for everybody and kudos to both sides.
Yeah, we agree. The adaptability and the communication seems like a plus. And in this town, we've seen a lot worse in terms of communication between a quarterback and an offensive coordinator. It was October of 2011 when Jay Cutler didn't like a play call and said this into a microphone during a game.
Come on, say F you.
Tell Martz I said F you. That's a different kind of feedback to an offensive coordinator, Kurt. I don't know if you were ever aware of that. It caused quite a kerfuffle here. And we wondered if you ever delivered a message like that directly or indirectly to Mike Martz, if you had to, sir.
I mean, maybe not exactly like that. But, you know, there's always times when you don't see eye to eye or, you know, when you're the guy on the field with the ball in your hands and people on the sideline see things a little differently and don't quite see it or see exactly what you're seeing. And so my kids often bring up, you know, a couple interactions that I had with Todd Haley on the sideline. You know, like, you know, Dad, you didn't show a lot of emotion, but you remember that time that you were yelling at Todd Haley and all of this, and, you know, and I have to kind of take them back to the scenario and how it plays out. And, you know, and those things happen because, you know, playing on the field with the ball in your hands is completely different than watching on the sideline. And so, you know, even when I coached at the high school level or coached, you know, my son, the first thing that I would always ask him is, what did you see? So I just wanted to know that my quarterback had a why. And if he had a why, we could go back and watch the tape and go, okay, you said it was this. Here's why I thought it was different. And let's look at that why of yours. And I see why you did it, but, you know, here's what we need to look at for, you know, the future. Or you can go back and, you know, you can say, oh, that's why I wasn't looking at that, or I didn't see that, or I see that step that that guy made there that probably scared you away from that throw, and I wasn't looking at it till a step or two after that. And so, you know, so much of it is understanding that. And then, of course, in the moment, you know, when you know that you saw something that stopped you from throwing something or made you make a certain read, and you run over to the sideline and somebody's like, why didn't you throw it here? That guy was wide open. What are you doing? You know, sometimes those emotions come out like, hey, you're not out there. You're not doing this. I know why I did it. I saw it. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But, you know, don't yell at me from the sidelines because you think you saw something that didn't, you know, that didn't correlate to what I was seeing out there. And we're all competitors. And when we, you know, it usually happens when, you know, you don't complete something as a quarterback, right? You don't make a play. So you're already mad and they're mad because you didn't make a play. And then the tensions get high. So it happens every once in a while. But I think it's always important to ask that question of your quarterback. Tell me why you did what you did. Tell me why you threw that ball there and it ended up getting intercepted. Why did that happen? You know, and so those things are important. So you can still coach off of it and you can still take them through, okay, what you saw and why you should do it differently. But as long as your quarterback has a reason for doing something, I think it makes coaching so much easier, you know, because I had a number of quarterbacks that would tell me at times like, I'm not really sure. Well, when you tell me you're not really sure, then I'm going to go to you and go, okay, you can't do that. You've got to see this and you've got to understand this because we can't miss that opportunity or we can't throw that ball because your eye should have been on that guy in the right spot. And so, I think those things become really important when you're going through that process.
Kurt, right now I'm looking at a picture of Josh McCown and you looking at a playbook. Is this right that your two sons are playing against each other this weekend?
They actually did this past weekend. I think Josh had a bye this past weekend, so he was able to make it to the game. Unfortunately, I was in London, but you know, he was in London the week before. Minnesota played over there. He's coaching for Minnesota now, so we talked about it, got a chance to talk about it, and then the boys went back and forth this weekend. It was a great football game. Owen, you know, played really, really well, threw a few touchdown passes, brought his team back from 10 down. And then EJ was able to bring his team back and throw the game winner with 4 seconds to go to get the win for Rice. So it was a fun back and forth, and both quarterbacks played well. And you felt like both deserved a win. Unfortunately, you know, for Josh and Owen, that they didn't come out of there with the win. And obviously fortunate for us, we did.
How cool is that, though, for you guys to share that moment with your sons?
I mean, it's so cool. I mean, it's so cool to be able to share those moments with your son, period. You know, having played the position, our sons play the same position, to go through those moments and enjoy those moments with our boys. But then, we were able to text after the game to each other. And, you know, I mean, it's so cool. We're both so proud of our boys. And it's, you know, really cool to see them go back and forth and both kind of respond to those moments. So yeah, two proud papas, you know, watching their boys and just disappointed that both couldn't come out with a win.
Well, your son's future, undoubtedly NFL Hall of Fame, and then an alternate broadcast for Monday Night Football. You know, it's just how it works.
Hey, if that's just how it works, he'll take it. He'll take it.
Kurt, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, man.
This is Kurt Warner joining us here. And you're right, Speaks. I went to go look at the uh, David August custom suits.
$6,000.
So here's my favorite part. And look, I definitely love for it to have a suit from them.
Sure. Well, I'll think about it.
The idea is that they have a price range on the front page of the website.
Uh-huh.
And it goes to $69.50.
Yeah, it's
but if you bring it back,
start lower than that.
If you start lower than that, there's nothing there. I'm taking it here. I'll take it all the way. I'll take it to $48.95.
You got nothing at $48.95?
I got nothing.
Yeah. It's kind of like when I search on StubHub for Eagles tickets at the Sphere in Las Vegas when we're out there next month.
All right, I took it to $55.30, and I've got one suit.
That's the one you'll get.
Can I remind you that I paid $80 for one on Amazon a couple weekends ago?
And
the suit was great, and I just got it tailored a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Can I remind you that?
You looked great in that suit,
Just
Shane.
Go to Amazon, brother.
Yeah, Kurt Warner wouldn't be caught dead in that suit.
Well,
it wouldn't.
He would not. He's taller than
Shane. We'll pray for him.
Yes, hopefully it'll be fine. But that's awesome.
Lawrence, I think I got to invest $40 before tomorrow night. I got to do it. It's time.
We should talk about this. Shane has a solution to everyone's bitching. He'll explain next on The Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.